Tonight's message is Malachi 3:7. Lord says, return to me and I will return to you. And we have a misconception in this day and age that a lot of times we feel like sometimes our self-esteem causes us to think that the Lord doesn't want us. Sometimes we think we've made so many mistakes, we feel like it's too late to turn around. Right? Sometimes we get ourselves in situations where our own ego or our own inner thoughts, maybe even temptations, start to tell you you're not good enough and you won't succeed. Or I grew up on Pontiac and that's how it's going to be. Or whatever it is. Really, that's a facade. In God's mentality, He says, return to me and I will return to you. And He doesn't just speak to us on an individual basis. He speaks to lineages. He will speak to your great-great-great-grandchild, right? When you're talking about God, you got to keep God in perspective of who He is first, right? We're talking about the Creator of the entire universe and everything in it. He specifically designed each and every single one of us. And when He speaks to us and He says, return to me and I will return to you, that's His word. I want to look closer at this now. And there's a lot of different situations where we fit in this. Sometimes we got where we had a good run. Sometimes we've done really well, and then maybe we're backtracking a little bit in our faith. Maybe there's some things that we know about that are going on in our lives that we're allowing to fester, right? But God says to that, return to me and I will return to you. So ultimately, we would like to have God's peace in our life. His joy, His direction, His control, His comfort, His saving grace in all of our aspects. But really, it's individuals that like me who remove ourselves from God's favor with bad decisions. And you compile a bad decision on top of bad decision on top of bad decision on top of bad decision. You wake up one day, you realize you're in a bad place, right? And then the last thing you think to yourself is, man, I need to turn to God. You just keep running and running and running and running and running. Well, Ezekiel, he said, the Lord's hand is not so short that He can't reach, but your sin is what caused the separation. But that's not where I'm going to focus. The Lord said, return to me and I'll return to you. So in Genesis, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He made man on earth, and He was grieved in His heart. And Ezekiel, further down, many years, he says, and I searched, which this happens to be one of my all-time favorite verses, and I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Now watch this. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. Their way. He said, I gave them my indignation, which is my intolerance to this negativity, but it's their own way that I gave on their head. Right? What's he mean? In Revelations, at the end of the book, he says, if anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he will go. If anyone kills with the sword he will be killed. Here is the perseverance of the faith in the saints. So that my question to get our attention is, if you ran out of time today, if I ran out of time today, where are you destined to go? That's a tough question to answer. Only you can answer that. Only God can answer that, right? I can't look at you and answer that question for you. You can't look at me and really know where I'm going right now. Time runs out right now. Where are you going to go? Reality, right? It's a tough thing to think about for a minute, but it's very important to think about because this is the reality of all these things. We've got family members passing away. I'm 41? I've probably lost 60% of my friends at this point. At least. Right? Time ran out. We don't think it's going to run out. Like in our minds, we still have forever to get it right. But when we pull out on the street, especially the way I drive. You never know, right? You never know. But you could just. But I want to go back a little bit and look a little closer at this in Revelation. He said, if anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he will go. So how am I destined then for captivity? If it's their way, if it's my way that's brought upon my own head, right? If it's my own actions, if it's my own decisions, if it's my own things that I've done that I'm going to basically reap and sow, he's going to give that back to me. There's a timeline of this patience that he's going to allow me to run like this, right? So I can open the throttle 150 miles an hour and keep it open, but there's a timeline where I'm going to run out of that fuel. Eventually, I'm going to get what I've created, right? If I plant corn, what am I going to get?
Corn.
If I plant tomatoes, what am I going to get?
Tomatoes.
I mean, for the most part, assuming that they're watered and it grows, right? If I plant negativity, what am I going to get? If I plant sin in my life, what am I going to get? It's that simple. So if I go out there and I try to make it look good, paint the picture perfect, make everybody sound good, but on the inside I know that I'm the one that's fooling everybody, I'm really just fooling myself. Because at the end of the day, I'm planting those seeds. And whatever those seeds that I'm planting are plants that are going to grow. And eventually the Lord's going to let me have it back because that's my harvest that I'm planting. Amen. He said, their way I will put on their heads. He didn't say my way. God has no intentions to hurt anyone, only but to love and to set us free. But in society, in the way that we think, in the way that we operate today, it's hard to function that way because we think, what am I going to lose? If I go all in right now in faith, look at how much I have to give up. But if you start to isolate each and every one of those things, what is it really that I'm giving up, right? I don't want to turn to the church right now because I don't want to give up my drinking at 2 in the morning on the weekends. Right? Well, is 2 in the morning the weekend drinking really benefit me? I don't want to come to God right now because, you know, I'm doing this thing where I have to generate money. So I have to get money. Money's the way of the world, right? It depends on what I'm planting. God said, return to me and I will return to you. So no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, or what you got, or how much you are, or how much you think you are, or what you got, we are equal in the eyes of God. There's not a person in this room that's more important to God than the next man or woman next to us. Amen? So we're equivalent. So you look at this and you start to put it together. In Ephesians, he comes back and he said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the world, according to the prince of power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too formerly walked in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive to Christ. By grace you have been saved. I want to say that again with you guys. I want you to say it with me. By grace you have been saved. Grace. By grace you have been saved. That is absolute fact. There's nobody in here that's going to earn it. There's nobody in here that you go 110 forever and you will not earn that right to be with God. Can it? Because we are by nature children of wrath. David said, I want to paraphrase this one. He was talking about being in the womb and being born in iniquity and in sin my mother conceived me initially. He's talking about the lineage. I mean, you don't think about that. Like you guys look at me and you see me in a button down, but you didn't see me 15 years ago. Or you didn't see my family's parents and their family's parents and how twisted and crazy we can sit and tell those stories around the fire and come all the way down to the lineage of the things that have occurred up until this point, where I would recommend jumping online and listen to the message Breaking the Chain. Because I don't care where you came from, you can choose right now where you're going to go. Amen. It doesn't matter where you came from, what you've been through. Now, we can use that as experience and knowledge to continue to move forward, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're stuck in that category. The possibilities in your life are every bit as endless as the person sitting next to you. Amen? It's just the ability to conceive the fact that God has that ability for you. Amen? Breaking the chain. Not allowing that lineage. My grandfather was a violent drunk. My dad's a violent drunk, drug addict. And you follow this line all the way down, and then all of a sudden we went through the mix and then woke up one day, praise God, sitting in there rotten, facing 40 years, and say, is this really what I want for me? You know, if I do get another opportunity, am I going right back to that? so I can go right back to there and sit down again and tell myself, what am I doing here? Right? How many of us enjoyed that time period? I can tell you that for me, it was the best 5 years I ever spent. I hated every minute of it. But it was the best thing that ever happened to my family. Amen? Right? You were dead in your trespasses and sin, formerly walked according to the world, but that's not the case now. In 2 Peter, he says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count as slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And I want to talk about God's mentality for a minute, just specifically like this. In Malachi, he said, return to me, I'll return to you. My text is Ezekiel 18, 25. He says, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear me now. My way is not right, or is it your way that's not right? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies because of it, for his iniquity he has committed, he will die. But again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and practices righteousness and justice, he will save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions, which he committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. But you say, my ways are not right. Isn't it your ways that are not right? Therefore, I will judge you, each according to his conduct, says the Lord. Therefore, repent and turn away from all your transgressions, that your iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. And that's got me. That's just real. You know, I mean, did anybody misunderstand what he's saying right there? I mean, he's just coming to us really clear. And I like what he says. He says, again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he committed, and practices justice. Practices justice. Now, we make a joke about why are, you know, hospitals and doctor's office and lawyers called practices, right? Like, they're just practicing. We don't need them to be practicing right then. But that's a good point. The point is this. God's expectation is a draw to have a relationship in moving forward with him. Amen? Simply to have that relationship and move forward. It's a practice. It's something that you wake up tomorrow and you realize, man, I shouldn't have did that yesterday. And you grow from that. It's just being accountable, right? When my conscience convicts me, then I need to be accountable to my conscience speaking to me, because every time I push it down and ignore it, I become more callous. And the day that I wake up when my conscience no longer speaks to me is a very, very sad day, amen? Right? In my opinion, that's the paved way to a mind of depravity. And I've met a lot of people where I've spoke to on a one-on-one basis where I realize that they're no longer upstairs to realize the condition that they're in. Have you not met them? Mm-hmm. Right? Especially today's day and age and the types of, you know, they're being pretty creative out there, man. They got drugs out there that you jump on that train and you just don't ever come home, period. And it's kind of a gamble. Because it could be the same drug 3, 4, 5 times, the 7th time, you're done. You don't ever know what's out there. You know, it's just, things are crazy. But I think to myself, if God is still speaking to my conscience, then that's, I need to listen. Amen? Amen? So, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. What is repentance? What is repentance? What is transgression? Do we know what all of these things mean? The reason why he explains it as transgression or trespassing basically is this. And let me give you an idea to play with right here. Let's talk about real estate, right? Each one of you guys and myself is a property. And we got property management. There's God, property manager, devil, the property manager. And the plan is they want to get that property, basically, right? Spiritually, spiritually get that property. And when I sin and I give in to temptation and I give in to that negativity, I'm omitting and accepting that lien. And you know what a lien is? A lien is something that holds that property down and doesn't allow you to sell that property until you take care of that lien. And if you keep doing liens and liens and liens and liens and liens and liens and liens, eventually the bank will take the property. And if you think about that spiritually, and you think about what he's saying here, as far as transgressions are concerned, is trespassing, is being and doing things that aren't beneficial to spiritual growth or benefiting others. Amen? And it can be very, very simple. We can label it as negativity. Some of us have a lot of different types of habits that we allow in our lives. Some of us have short tempers. Some of us have, you know, it's all different nitpicky, strange things about us all. But ultimately, we all want to love. We all want to give love, be loved, share love. Amen? That's a natural need. But if I think of every time I give myself up, every time I fall victim to being violent, every time I fall victim to my mouth, every time I fall victim to cheating somebody or slander, whatever it is, using drugs all the time, or whatever it is that I do, violently not forgiving people, unforgiveness. You want to put it in perspective on an individual. Every single time that I cross over that line and walk away from God, I'm putting a lien on my heart. I'm putting a lien on my life. I'm trespassing. I'm giving the devil priority, a property of myself. Amen? And I can assure you that his intentions are not beneficial. His intentions, a lot of times, are disguised with beautiful things. Right? Keeping up with the Joneses. I want what he's got. He wants what he's got. You can get it this way. I'm going to go get that. I think a lot of us fell victim to that type of temptation. Just wanting to have a status or create or accomplish something so that we would be willing to give up our integrity to get there. I myself have lived that life. I don't know if any of you guys can experience or relate to that. But at the end of the day, temptation is very powerful. It's a very powerful thing. How many people didn't make a single mistake today? How many of us in this room did not make one mistake today? Nobody? Everybody made a mistake today? Who's sitting there thinking, I didn't make a mistake, but I'm not raising my hand? Somebody? So if I'm looking at this and I'm asking myself, like, here we are right now, we came to Bible study, right? And then now in perspective compared to the masses who are not serving God, but you think about this, if I fell victim today, if you fell victim today, and we're here to try to move forward and benefit ourselves, how much greater is this situation that we're looking at, right? And it's just teeny little things, but I refuse to give up, you know, equity in my soul. And that's why the Lord says, therefore the Lord is slow about his promise, not as some count as slow, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And I can testify myself and say that if my timer would have went out, there are many days that I would be confident. I know I'm not in charge, but I would just have to guess that there is no possible way I would have got there. Wouldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine sitting here. Period. He says in Acts, repent therefore and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come to the presence of the Lord. And I think, are you ready? Are you ready? You know, so am I going to hold on to all this stuff as hard as I can and just never let it go and say, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do it my way. I know how to do it, even though I can look at yesterday and 6 months ago and 6 years ago and just say, my way is not working. But I'm going to keep doing my way, keep doing it my way, keep doing it my way. Right? But I'm going to hold on as hard as I can, even though it's not working. My way was, I don't know, 14 different lettered felonies and 11 federal indictments. Until finally, I was middle-aged watching my children grow up in pictures. And I just said, you know, my way sucks. Mm-hmm. Right? 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 Yeah. Right? It seemed right. I looked like I was doing good. I had a lot of things. They came and took them. But I had a lot of them. Right? So it's like, is my way the right way? And you think about what God says. He says, repent, therefore, and return, so that your sin may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So what is this word telling us right here? Repent and therefore return. What did he say in Malachi? Return to me and I will return to you, right? Now here he is in Acts. That your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So what am I learning from that? When I think about this, I think to myself like this. When I wake up and I'm accepting sin in my life, I'm pushing God out. Yep. I'm accepting sin, I'm pushing God out. I'm take more sin, less God. More sin, less God. And what happens is, I'm no longer refreshed. I'm aggravated. I'm paranoid. Peeking out the windows. Violent. Frustrated. Can't sleep at night. How many of them days have you had? Yes or no?
Many,
amen?
Many, many.
Right? How many times are you just uncomfortable with your own self where you don't feel comfortable anymore? Right? And we get into this place where he said that if you repent, therefore, and return, your sins will be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So as I allow the Lord's presence into my life, I begin to accept his joy. Amen?
Amen?
And from this verse, I can tell you right now, if you didn't wake up today, or you don't wake up 80% of the days and feel the Lord's joy in your life, then you're keeping somebody else's equity in there. Amen? Maybe your own priorities. Maybe the devil's plan. Maybe we don't realize it. But if you're not waking up in the joy of the Lord, then his presence isn't there. Amen? I'm not saying he's not with you. I'm not saying he's not there for you, because he clearly says, return to me and I'll return to you. But we're living it out. So this is a progressive, measurable outcome throughout time periods where maybe for this 6 months, I wasn't very comforted. Maybe for this 6 months, I really felt his power in my life. Can anybody relate to that? You know what I'm saying? Where sometimes you can really feel your faith in what you do. That's an amazing day when you wake up and you're just walking in that faith and you can feel God's presence with you. But to times of refreshing mean to revive and restore. Well, you know what a funny thing is about running away and chasing all them other crazy things? Aren't we all just trying to feel better at the end of the day? Even if you go into your darkest day of addiction, at the end of the day, you just wanted to feel better for that moment. No matter what that addiction was, if it was making money, working out, using drugs, drinking, whatever it is, we all have these little things where we want to go overcompensate to make ourselves feel better, when in the reality of it all is that we never needed that to begin with. We just need a relationship with God. That's such an amazing thing. The more I allow God into my life, the more refreshed I feel, the more revived I feel, the more restored I am, the more energy I am, the more strong I am, the more confident I am. No more low self-esteem, no more feeling sorry for myself, no more feeling bad about past mistakes. Today, new day. Amen? That's revive and restore. When you talk about restoration, what are you going to do? If we got to restore something, what's the first thing you got to do? You got to check the foundation. Check the foundation. What are you standing on right now? Our foundation is Christ. It's the gospel. The gospel is the foundation of our faith. That's where we begin. And we grow from there. And that's where we need to be. Just like the buildings that are being rebuilt, you'd picture all of us as just entities who need restoration. Amen? God wants to go in there and take out all them hurt feelings, all that lack of confidence, right? He wants to take out all those negative things that tore us up and put joy in our life. Amen? Who would want that? All of us? I do. But do I want it more than the instant gratification than what's right in front of me right now? That's the question. Am I a microwave man, or am I going to fire up the grill? And the end result is we're all going to want it off the grill other than the microwave. But if we do the microwave, get it now. But it only lasts, right? This is permanent. It's permanent. We were in church yesterday, and he was talking about statistics and the guys and how they measure everybody in their faith in the world. And it got really interesting because he was just saying that back in the day, it was a benefit to just go and say you're Christian, right? Because you fit in. So you could go there and you'd be like, yeah, I'm Christian, and let me get that job. And you, we work, and everybody networks. That's how they did it. Whereas today's society, it doesn't benefit us at all to be Christian in society. It's more so viewed as a negative standpoint. So statistics are dropping really fast, right? Which is the day and age of what Revelations is completely talking about eventually. You know, call me crazy, but watch the trend. I don't know if anybody else has seen the news this week. Amen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's hard to watch almost. You're just like, man, I'm not sure I wanted to know that. You know, I'm like, I'm going to turn that off. No cable. Cut it off. I don't want to see it anymore. But times of refreshing may come. 2 Corinthians, he says, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the glory of Christ, which is the image of God. Blinded. Blinded. Right? Previous, in a verse before that, he said the veil is lifted by those who come to Christ. But for all intents and purposes of what I'm talking about, he said that when you don't get it, it's because the devil's running diversion in your life. When we're sharing God and sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus Christ, trying to spread that love of God into people's lives, sometimes it bounces right off because they got that Vader up. You know what I mean? It's not going to get there. They said, well, I just don't get it. So why don't you get it? He said, and even in the case when the gospel's veiled, I don't get it, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Woo! Woo! I don't know about you, but that's frightening to me, right? I want to get it. I want to understand it. I don't want to not know anything from this point forward. I might as well just be accountable. Amen? Because the last thing I want to do is be accountable for things that I don't know. Right? So it gets a little tricky. But we're talking about return to me and I'll return to you. And I have a little text right here. It's a test for you guys in Mark. I'm gonna read you a little passage. I'm gonna ask you a question. Mark 8:22, somewhere in here. All right, ready? He said, and they came to Bethsaida, and they brought up a blind man, and Jesus implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting in his eyes, laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? Marvin, don't answer this. And he looked up and said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. Then again, he laid hands on him. He laid hands on his eyes, and he looked intently, and he was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, don't even enter the village. And the guy ran all the way home, cleared of his blindness, cured, completely cured. And my question for you guys is, why did it take Jesus 2 tries to heal this man?
Because the first try, he wasn't a believer. He didn't have enough faith that what he was going through was really going to work. And until he saw a little bit of the positivity of what was going on, that it was really making him start to be able to see a little bit, that's when he started to believe.
That's an awesome guess. I'll give you that. That's a good guess. Anybody else? Why did it take Jesus 2 tries? Now, here's my answer. It's a trick question. Sorry. It didn't. He wanted them and needed them to see the spiritual healing, not the physical. And we go back in reference, and a lot of people don't catch this, back in Matthew 3:10, it says, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down. And what he's talking about is spirituality. And when Jesus healed the man, he healed him first spiritually. And when the man opened his eyes, he saw men like trees. He saw the roots. He saw the genealogy. He saw the ancestry. He seen the spiritual vision of God. Amen? And you've got to figure, there's a whole crowd around him watching this happen. Then he heals him again. He's physically healed and he goes. But the point of the story is, there's no point of being healed physically if you're not healed spiritually. The lesson here is that our spiritual vision is 1,000 times more important than our physical vision. In fact, when Jesus in Matthew originally said, if your eye becomes a stumbling block to you, what should you do? Cast it out. But can you imagine casting out your own eye? But if it's a stumbling block to me to getting to heaven or having a relationship with God,
poke it out.
Now, I'm not saying that, and I don't want to lead. I want to hear a phone call tonight about anybody poking an eye. All right? Call me first. We'll talk about it. I promise. I'll talk for an hour if you want to. I don't want you to poke your eye out. But it's a very important thing. It says God himself opens the eyes of sinners, the blind to see, the deaf to life. Everybody has an opportunity to see the Lord. And it's so important to think spiritually. See, these physical ailments that have us down on a regular basis are meaningless and futile. In the reality of God, who created everything and owns and has everything, who just says, return to me and I will return to you, all of these problems are nothing. Amen? But we make them so big and they tear us down. We don't have any joy. We don't have any hope. We don't have any integrity. It just eats us alive because it's a facade. Because we're not seeing men. We're not seeing things of the roots. The roots. Everyone will have an opportunity to accept the Lord. He wants to see the world spiritually and seek spiritual healing. How? Repent. Return to me and I will return to you. To repent means to turn away from or to feel pain or sorrow on account of something done or undone. So there's a couple avenues. I wake up tomorrow or immediately, I don't know about you guys, but I'm terrible now. So I do something bad and immediately I'm getting myself in trouble now. This is how strange this has become. But I'll do something crazy and immediately my conscience will check me and I'll be like, oh, right? And I want to make it good. I want to make it right. I don't want to keep that, you know, in my life. But these are the things that we have to take into consideration. To repent means that I'm not going to do that again tomorrow. If I turned away from it completely, if I said, Lord, I'm just so sorry, I'll beat these guys with a water bottle, we'll come back tomorrow and I'm hitting them again, and so I'm just so sorry, God. You know, it don't work that way. But what it is, okay, God, I made an awful mistake today, but I'm going to be accountable for that. I'm not sure how I'm going to get past it, but you're going to be in my life and you're going to coach me through it. And when I start to feel that temptation of that thing or whatever that thing is that starts to pull on me and draw on me, I'm going to start calling on you. Amen? I'm going to speak your power in my life and avoid these negative avenues. The power of the word. Repent. So Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. 2 Chronicles, and this is like second favorite verse in the whole world. I can't hear you.
If
my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, which is repent, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. Now my eyes are open, my ears are attentive to their prayers. So it's like, what's the key in getting my prayers answered? Is really introspection. Lord, look at me right now. Clean out everything that's negative within me. Let me turn towards you now and hear my prayer. And he said, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's such an amazing verse from God. Proverbs 15 said, the fear of the Lord is instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. And I know that many of us are prideful. I was very prideful, still probably very defectively prideful in my life. But putting the Lord first before everything that we do, and staying humble and being accountable and staying on that repentance, in that, should have I done it? Next time I'm going to do it. I shouldn't have done that. Next time I'm not going to do that. And staying on track, because the Lord said, Malachi 3:7, what he said?
Come
return to me,
and I will return to you.
What he say?
Return to me, and I will return to you.
Amen. Let's pray.